Okay, well, good evening, everyone. This is Mike Hoffpower, and we are here gathered this evening on January 11th at 8 p.m. Eastern for our monthly executive board phone call. So I'll go ahead and begin by calling the roll. President Mike Hoffpower, it's me and I'm here. Vice President Randy Bauer.
Present.
Vice President of Finance, Chuck Unruh.
Here.
Secretary Fun Fong.
Here.
Members at large, David Hayter.
Present.
David Day.
Here.
John Fernandez.
Here.
Kevin Pryor.
Here.
And our executive director, Carol Meyer.
Here.
So everybody's here this evening. Does anyone have any new conflicts of interest that they would like to disclose? Okay, hearing none. We're going to discuss three items in open session this evening. We'll start with a quarterly financial report from Chuck Unruh, our Vice President of Finance. We'll talk a little bit about correspondence, CHESS, and I think we'll also talk about the Tornello platform a little bit before we go into closed session. And once we go into closed session, if we have any votes or motions that come out of that, we will then bring those motions into the public forum here in the open session. Okay, so we'll start with the second quarter financial report from Chuck Unruh. Chuck, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. President. U.S. CHESS finds itself at the end of the second quarter in a very solid financial recovery. Now, I say recovery, as we know, last year at this time, we were not all sectors of our business were doing well. Our membership was off 30%, membership revenues, owing to COVID. We are recovering nicely as we go into November and the end of the first six months of our business cycle. We have several packages that went out with information from budget analysis to statement of financial position. All that will be posted on our website for review by the membership. So we'll be posting these financials. What has really changed as we go into this recovery? It's not perfect, but it's very, very strong, much stronger than we anticipated. Well, how do we know that? We know that by looking at first, our cash position. At the end of November, our cash accounts were very good standing. In fact, if we go to the statement of financial position, we'll notice at the end of November, we're at $2,374,000 in cash equivalents. Now that's right in line with previous months, and it's getting stronger. The trend is up. So this is very good. First thing I look at when I look at a company is, what do they have in the bank? How are my companies doing? What do we have in the bank? Next thing is I look make sure my receivables are in good shape. And the receivables and payables are in very good shape for this corporation. As we look through, straight to the bottom line, we find out that we're at $77,305.74 for the first 6 months. That's a surplus. Well, that's outstanding. How do we know it's outstanding? Because we go over to our budget and we find out that we're several hundred thousand dollars better than where we thought we were going to be at this time. So we'll talk a little bit about the details. The details are very strong gifts and sponsorships. We've exceeded last year for the first 6 months. I think our number now going into December, not November, but December, we had went out and did a fundraiser, and the fundraiser came back approximately 71,000, which is just excellent. So that part of our business and mission is staying very stable and possibly increasing. People seem to have faith in us, and we appreciate that. And our business continues to grow, and our donations from generous donors and sponsors continue to increase. Very happy with that. The greatest change, though, is over on membership. Our membership numbers have increased past our expectations for this quarter. They're doing really well. So if we can carry through, if COVID doesn't derail our recovery, and we can carry through for the rest of the year, we'll easily meet our budgets, our budget forecast. Languishing in this quarter of all things, our investments. November was really tough. Everyone heard that there was something going on in South Africa, and they rushed to push the sell button right at the end of the month. This caused a swing of approximately $60,000 as investors went to one side of the boat. Now, that swing is what we normally refer to as our drawdown and sharp ratios. Part of the portfolio management by investment teams, by our investment teams, are to invest for very little drawdown as possible. We want to be steady. But with the type of funds that we're seeing these days, to have a swing in 1 month of 60,000 is a couple percent. It's very difficult when you're in mark-to-market situations, and I'm not saying we should change it, but in a mark-to-market situation, 1 month can take you down 60 to 100,000. Then the next month you make 120,000. And that's exactly what's happening here. So November, even for all of the good results, had a drag from the investment side of a capital loss of approximately 60,000. That loss was made up for in December. So December is going to look very, very good. Part of investing when we have a net position, our net position, by the way, as of December 31st in our portfolio, all three portfolios combined is $3,916,000. That's pretty significant. So we're going to have a little bit of fluctuation there, and we'll continue to keep our sharp ratios under watch, making sure that we're well diversified and that we're getting good distributions. Now, talking about distributions, as of December 31st, total distributions from investments are now at $254,000. So that's a cash distribution. It's becoming a significant part of our mission and of our model, our business model. In fact, in the next 2 years, we will see approximately 160,000 plus of just dividends. So there was a time when we were getting by with, wow, are we going to make a $10,000 surplus on the bottom line? That's no longer true. This business model is totally different, and it is doing very, very well. So that's a little bit about our investments. Now, do we have any cushion? Yes, since inception, we've created $160,000 worth of capital gains. So a swing of 60,000 per month is not eating into the meat of our investments. It's not even tagging our dividends. So the extra capital gains grants us that type of cushion as we go forward, because we know that there's been a change in Federal Reserve policy, and predicting the future is going to be very, very difficult. But almost to a person, they're saying higher interest rates. And as I said in November, if you have everyone on one side of the boat, it's not good. And you get that in the markets once in a while. So just press the button on the news, and then they have remorse later, and things repair. That's one of the strengths about our investment committees. And the strength of our investment committee is that in our cost averaging program, it's very difficult to catch us in the market through poor timing because we're placing money into the market every quarter. This last quarter, we placed roughly $150,000 into the market of fresh capital. It just so happens that we bought on the day part of our money on the day that they were all dumping it. Well, that's fairly contrary. Maybe we were lucky, but we landed on our feet. Things are going well on our investments, and I'm very happy with our dividend distributions. And those dividends, thanks to our tax status, will go straight to the mission. So let's talk about some other things that were really important in the quarter. One is cost controls. We continue to watch our costs. In fact, our IT costs started out at about $49,000 this year per month. And now as of November, we're down to $29,000. So steadily we're reining in our IT costs. That has been a real issue in our G&A and general administrative costs. And those costs are just normally going up owing to the resumption of the mission that we're out there conducting tournaments. I mean, our visa bills going up, all the things that you would expect with normal operations. So is it out of line at all? No. We're doing really well that way on cost control. I even think we're still running, and Carol can speak to this, that we're running a little bit of short staffed here. And at the same time, we have to say thank you to our staff. They've really had a lot placed on their shoulders. And so far, so good for the year. Now, what else is important? When I look at all this information, I go to total equity. What was the worth at the end of November? Well, the total worth of this corporation was $3,634,000 approximately. That's right up there where we've been. Coming through COVID did not harm this organization as far as net worth. And once again, it's thanks to the expanded mission where we're not only membership, but donations and sponsorships. It's been excellent. And now we have a sector that seems to be very important in the future, which is our investments. And so I mentioned something about cost controls and all this paperwork we're getting out from our new helpers at Altruic. It's wonderful. There's a lot of detail here. But we're getting to where it'll be in a timely fashion. And the reason is the transition in QuickBooks is coming along just fine. We're getting used to the new format. It's when we look at membership and they defer membership during the year, it doesn't paint the picture that we used to have of cash coming in the door. And then as you go into the latter part of the year, you find out, wow, we got more membership than we thought. Well, the deferred is being backed into those numbers. So on that, I will also say that on the investment side, we've been working with the trust and the flowers in particular. If you remember, we had the flowers gift. And that is now being invested and it's doing well also. So the trust is working with us to grow the flowers gift. And I believe, what was that? $287,000 originally. So we have it invested and it's invested to get 7% distributions. Let's see what else I have on my list here. We have good operational cash. Good cost controls. Oh, something that happened in December that's important. The Rosen Center treated us very well. We were anticipating a loss in that event. and it looks like we're going to have a small surplus. We got the numbers in, the draft numbers, and the event, the K-12, possibly has a $36,000 surplus instead of a loss. And of course, we thought with COVID and all that we would incur loss there. I'm going to open it up if you have questions at this point.
I noticed that we have a lot more computer equipment listed now. How did that come about?
As people's machines cycle out about 3 years, they almost seem to have a timer on them. And, you know, Boyd's machine broke at the K-12 and Pete's broke 2 weeks before that. And so it's just simply, we purchase computers when they go. We probably should just get on a schedule and every 3 years and do it, but.
Yeah, they probably get used like heck. So I didn't know if they were new servers that we were purchasing or anything of that sort.
No, we don't own a lot of server equipment. Well, we own it, it's all paid for and we aren't really using it. We're mostly virtualized on servers provided by one of our IT vendors for the old system.
Mm-hmm. Carol, I know your voice is giving out. You know, when I reviewed the payroll numbers, they looked very good. They were well within budget. Can you tell me if my review was correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have one full-time position that's not filled. We did add a three-quarter time person to job share with Jennifer Pearson, who's only working about 10 hours a week. So Rose started last week. Her name's Rose McMahon. There's a piece on CLO this morning about her joining our team. And so we'll start to see, you know, that some of that surplus in payroll close, but it's not going to be dramatic.
Okay. The one gift, I know everyone that is involved in the investment committees realizes that John Rockefeller has generously provided for the senior event, the Irvin, and that is an endowment, and it was an endowment of over $200,000.
Yeah, he paid it a couple of years early, and so I want to build on a little bit of what Chuck said. It wasn't quite right on the donations. The donation information that he shared was actually through yesterday, so our year-end giving exceeded last year by a few thousand dollars. We topped $71,000, and the return cards from the mailing we did continue to come in. We got a bunch earlier in the week. Got some very generous gifts. And I did a quick look at the file today, and we had almost 900 unique givers thus far this fiscal year. That surpasses anything we've done previously. So that's, you know, a step in the right direction. We have a wide range of giving levels. That's amazing. Love that people believe in what we're doing and want to support it.
Yeah, I did see that restricted donations were at 192,000 and for the first 6 months. So
the other thing I'll mention, since we've moved to this accrual model every month rather than doing it at the end of the year kind of retroactively, we are tracking cash on a daily basis from membership sales and the magazine sold to members. And we're averaging about $167,000 in membership sales alone every month, and probably about $12,000 to $13,000 in membership magazine sales. So that latter number is well ahead of what we budgeted for. And should the trend hold on the membership side, we're gonna come out ahead of our budget by several hundred thousand dollars.
Carol, if your voice is strong enough, could you take us through the new dashboard? But your not each detail, but
I'm sorry.
Did you post a new dashboard for that'll be available to the executive board?
Sure. And I think this is something that we can post for members as well. It's really just an at a glance view of key financial metrics. I had talked to Altruic about putting something like this together instead of using the PowerPoint slide deck that I had put together for the prior quarter. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. We're not able to easily compare revenue year to year because of changes we've made to the way we're accounting for things like membership. So we're not doing a year-to-year comparison, but next year we should be able to do that. The other area where some of this is impacted by changes we've made is that we updated our chart of accounts. And so things don't quite line up like we need them to make year-over-year comparisons easy. But you can see the main sources of revenue being events and membership, contributions, donations, investments, and then other types of income. There's a bar comparing year over year on investment performance. The current fiscal year to date is ahead of where we were last year. On the upper right, that's our balance sheet kind of data. Again, I think it's just year over year comparisons, and we're seeing things trending in the right direction. Where we're seeing
are you showing something right now, Carol?
No,
Carol,
you just muted yourself.
It's in the packet, Mike. It's a
second. Yeah, I got it. But you said in the upper right, you were talking about a dashboard. So I was wondering, in showing it to the members, I thought you were showing something.
No, I'm not showing anything. But it's the balance sheet information, and where we're showing a net loss is this year. And it's, again, due to this accrual method we're using. It's showing a net loss of $77,000 year to date. That's just an artifact of how we're counting cash. Last year, we didn't count it the same way. We recognized everything as we received it. So again, it's not a really fair comparison to put them side by side. But I think if you keep that in mind when you look at these numbers, and if you look at the actual balance sheet or income statement, you will see the deferred liability that's been created by the deferred membership sales. And that number is closing in on $2 million, I believe, if my memory serves me. So I think we're in really, really tremendous financial shape. And, it's a group effort, a little bit of luck. And the fact that people seem to love chess so much, and, our members are tremendously loyal, and we're bringing in new people, new to the game, new to U.S. chess, to become part of our community. So I'll leave it there and save my voice for later.
Thank you, Carol.
Two things from me.
Cycle on that dashboard every month?
I think it's quarterly.
Quarterly, okay.
Two things for me. One, obviously, Chuck, Carol, thank you so much for your leadership on this, and the results are incredible. One thing just to clarify, because I see it in two places, basically, does it look like, I can't tell if either we did not sell any life memberships in 2021, or if the accrual basis is causing us to have zeros for life memberships. But I can point that out where they are in the, it's in the statement of activity on line 25.
I suspect those will be recognized on an annual basis, but I can get back to you with that answer, John. I don't know for sure. I know we have sold, Chuck, do you remember the number 34, yes, 27, something like that?
$19,000 of life memberships.
In the first quarter of the year, right? Okay. I know we didn't sell any benefactor memberships in the second.
No, I thought that was November. That was November's transfer.
Right, that's the second quarter, sorry.
Second quarter, yes, that's okay. So we are selling life memberships. Why it's not on the their worksheet, I don't know.
Okay.
We'll have to find out.
Appreciate it, thank you.
Any other questions from board members on the financial overview? Okay, I'd like to turn now to a discussion about the Correspondence Chess Working Group, and I want to publicly thank board member Fun Fong for his excellent leadership of that working group during the time that they met. It was important because we needed to upgrade and upgun the way we handle correspondence chess. And Fun, I appreciate your leadership of that group. And, you know, we've gotten that turned around a bit. We now have a member of the staff that oversees, you know, correspondence chess. And so what I'd like to do at this time is propose a motion that the executive board vote to formally close out or dissolve the correspondence chess working group. And that the executive board thanks Fun Fong and the group members for their excellent work. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Passes 8-0. And Carol, I'll put together the words to that and send that to you and Fun so you all have them for the next report.
Yeah, Correspondence Chess Working Group has done a lot of work and done a lot of created a number of documents, and I think we've got a good staff member in Mike Buss. I did talk to him a little bit about, you know, he's the right man in the right position to create whatever other needs that Correspondence Chess needs with the informatics system. So I think we're well situated with him. And also I mentioned to him that he still has access to all these other former working group members that he can rely on to get consensus if he needs to get another opinion about that. So he can do that informally. So I think it's certainly appropriate to terminate the working group right now, but he still has access to all these resource people.
Yeah, that's good. And today I pinged the ratings committee. As some of you may recall, the ratings committee is looking into the formula that gets used for rating correspondence chess. And we asked them to take a look at whether the formula that's currently being used or to rate over the board chess or some other formula should be used for correspondence chess. And they owe us back an answer on that. Mike Regan and the ratings committee owes us an answer back by the end of this week. And I just sent him a reminder of that. They've been working on that since roughly mid-October or so. So that we should have some information on that pretty shortly to really kind of close out some of the last things of correspondence chess that are hanging around. Another thing that's kind of some exciting news is today the executive board voted and provided its endorsement of the Tornello platform. And that's good news for tournament directors and organizers because it gives, you know, a fourth platform in addition to ICC, chess.com, and Lee Chess that directors can use and select from when they're playing tournament, when they want to run tournaments. So that's the fourth platform whose fair play method has been reviewed by a subcommittee from the subcommittee, wasn't from ratings.
Carol, I believe it was from ratings, Mike.
Yes, it was from the ratings committee because they got the statisticians. You're right. So they're the fourth. You know, they looked at that group. They looked at that platform with a three-person group and deemed it appropriate for use in online play. So it just gives directors a little bit more comfort that when they use, you know, Tornello or Lee Chess or, you know, ICC's platform or any, you know, Chess Kit and the chess.com platforms, that they've got the ability to have some, some algorithms and some looking at the fair play while the games are in progress, as opposed to trying to wing it on your own after a tournament's over, which is really a very risky scenario. So I think that closes out our open session for the, you know, for the first part of our meeting, and we'll go ahead and stop the recording. Kel, good evening to everyone again. Executive board is coming out of closed session. And as we come out of closed session, we have, we spent some time talking about the special delegates meeting. And so during the closed session, the executive board discussed the date of Wednesday, March 23rd. So the executive board recommends that the special delegates meeting to discuss the sale of the U.S. Chess headquarters be held at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the evening of Wednesday, March 23rd. All those in favor, so raise your hand, state an aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, that motion passes 8-0. In addition, the executive board moves that U.S. Chess organize and hold two town halls, one on March 12th, one on March 21st, to allow opportunities for delegates to test their technology, to practice voting, and to discuss the upcoming issues related to the upcoming special delegates meeting. All those in favor of the motion, raise your hands by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And that motion passes 8-0. That was it. We came from coming out of closed session. The next time the executive board will meet will be on our second Tuesday in February, which will be the 8th. Is that correct, Carol? 8th of February? Yeah, I think that's right. So I appreciate everyone being here this evening. Is there anything anyone would like to mention to any of the members at large, or maybe to the members? Okay, well, I know this past weekend, I was privileged to be the chief arbiter at the Pan American Intercollegiate Championships. We had almost 270 players. We had 57 teams in the tournament that was run by Ananda Malapati in Washington, right outside of Washington, D.C., but, you know, literally a shuttle bus ride away from Dulles International Airport. And the final four teams coming out of that are St. Louis University, Webster University, Texas Tech University, and University of Texas at Dallas. So those will be the four teams that are going to participate in the final four. And College Chess Committee Chair Alex Onishuk, Grandmaster Alex Onishuk, is working with the four schools right now to determine an optimum date. And it'll probably be sometime early in April. Usually it's the first or second weekend of April. So I anticipated being in that time frame again. But again, it was a good tournament. It's 4 days long. It starts on a Thursday night and goes all the way through Sunday. So a very good turnout and a very good turnout. I mean, a very good tournament, and appreciate all the colleges that sent their young men and women to play in that pretty prestigious event. That's it from U.S. Chess Executive Board. So have a good evening. Have good chess and get out there and play, because Over the Board is up and happening again. Have a good evening, folks.
Thank you all.